Brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Our text is going to be a repetition for some. I preached on this on Sunday, and we even went through Romans 8 and looked at this in Romans 8. I've written on it all week in the daily readings that I have mailed out to you. And here I am preaching on it again tonight. But it's that vitally important. This is the difference between works religion and grace. This is the difference between trying to come to God by the law and coming to God in Christ only. And it'll help us with our message for Sunday, when we see Sunday, Lord willing, what it is that grieves the Holy Spirit. I've titled this, Life Because of Righteousness. And this is what I want us to get. Let me just give you this brief statement. True believers do not live in the flesh or after the flesh. We're not living in fear. We're not living with our minds on the letter of the law, with our minds on our sinful flesh, with our minds on others. The very fact that we have spiritual life teaches us that before God, we're now in the Spirit, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's true if you have spiritual life. Now, our divisions will be three things that the Holy Spirit declares here in Romans 8 that teach us what I just stated. Here's the first thing we're going to see. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, we're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Look at Romans 8 and verse 7. He said there that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And he said in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then he answers that. He says, verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is this. He said there in Romans 7, he said, the carnal mind's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But the good news is, if Christ is in us, our body is dead to the law, and the body of the law is dead to us. Look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's exactly what he's teaching there. He said the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and cannot be. He says, but if Christ be in you, the body of the law is dead because of sin. Because sin's been dealt with by Christ. And then the third thing is this. The very reason we have spiritual life is because we are righteousness in Christ. Look at verse 10. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then we'll hear God's application to us when we get finished. Now, first of all, if the Spirit of God dwell in us, we're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, he's going to show us how this came to be. Go back up to verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For, because, here's the first reason, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel blessed, spoken by Christ our head, and blessed by the Holy Spirit in our heart. Now, turn to John 6. I'll show you that. John chapter 6. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. That law is the gospel spoken by Christ through the Holy Spirit. John 6, verse 63. Christ said here, this is Christ speaking, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." And that should be a capital S. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And to show us this is how we're given life, how we believe, how we continue walking in the Spirit, he says there, verse 64, "But there's some of you that believe not." Those who believe not walk after the flesh. They were still in the flesh. They followed the flesh. They walked after the flesh. They walked in the oldness of the letter of the law. They minded the letter of the law. They had their minds set on things of the flesh. They were married to the flesh and to the law. And so whenever they heard the gospel preached, you know what they did? They turned and walked away from Christ. They walked away from Christ. But Peter and the disciples, Christ had spoken this gospel into their hearts. And through the Holy Spirit, they had been regenerated. And they had been given life by this Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so when they heard Christ speak, they didn't turn and walk away from Christ. They said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. These words are the words we need to live. We are sure. We believe and we're sure. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God." How did they know that? Because He spoke this word in their heart. That's how they knew it. And that's the reason the other ones didn't know it, because He hadn't spoken in their heart. When this gospel is spoken in the heart by Christ, I can't do this just speaking it like I'm doing here. But when He speaks my words into your heart and the Spirit gives you life, there will be a regenerated new man formed within you. A new creature will be made within you. And in our inward man, it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, because when He does this, He writes His law on our hearts. You had the law of right and wrong written on your conscience from the day you were born. You can read that in Romans 2. The Gentiles who don't even have the written law, He said they are a law unto themselves. They show that they have the law written on their conscience because they accuse or excuse one another. Where'd they get that? Where'd they get the understanding that it's wrong to steal another man's chicken? They got the law written on their conscience. But what we don't have is we don't understand what the law says about us. And so when Christ regenerates you, He writes the law of sin, the law of death on the heart. He shows in the inward man. He doesn't write this in the old man, in the old nature, in the fleshly nature. He writes it in the new heart. And He shows us, when He writes this in our heart, He shows us what the law says about us. He shows us the law spiritual. He shows us that it condemns our thoughts, our nature, our very nature. He shows us what we are. He shows us that our flesh has nothing good in it, our old nature. He shows us that with the flesh profits us nothing. And He shows us that it will always be this way. Paul said up there at the end of Romans 7, he's a regenerated believer. And he says there at the end, he said, "With the mind, I myself serve the law of God." That's with this inward man. "But with the flesh, the law of sin." That's how it's always going to be. It's always going to be that way for the believer. We serve God in the inward man that He's made. Our old nature is sin, and it's always going to be sin. It's all it's ever going to be. So He writes this on our heart and teaches us this. He writes the law of righteousness in our heart. He shows us that the law requires absolute perfect righteousness and that He is that righteousness. He's the righteousness of the law. He's the righteousness of God. He's the righteousness we have to have. He's the righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And He makes us to see that He is our righteousness. And He writes on our hearts the law of faith. He reveals to us that His righteousness is made our righteousness by trusting Him, by believing Him, and casting all our care upon Him. And through faith, His righteousness is made our righteousness. Scripture says, where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? By the law of faith? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man's justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You get this law written on your heart when the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has given you life. And Christ has written this on our heart. And He writes the law of love on our heart. He makes it so that He shows us what great things He's done for us. And He constrains us by that love. He shows us then what He's done and makes us willing in the day of His power by the constraint of His love, by showing us what great things He's done for us. So we believe Him and we trust Him and we cast all our care into His hands and we do it willingly. And when we believe on Him, there's no condemnation. He shows us, I've removed the condemnation. I've made you the righteousness of the law. And so then He also writes on our hearts the law of liberty. And we're free from the law. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall. Grace hath redeemed us once for all. Now this is what happens. This is how we're freed from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ said, if I shall make you free, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so we're freed from that law. It's called a law not because there's works involved, not because there's a curse involved if you don't obey. It's called a law because it's the law of grace and life, the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of liberty. That these are the laws He writes on our heart. And He says, and it's all the substance of making in our hearts the everlasting covenant of grace. That's what He writes in our heart. And says, I'll remember your sin no more. And that's when you cease being in the flesh. And now you're in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit shows us a contrast. Look at verse 5. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, in the context, I said this to you Sunday, both of these are religious folks. He's not talking about folks that mind the things of the flesh in immorality. He's talking about religious folks. He's talking about religious folks. Those who are after the flesh are religious but spiritually dead in this context that he's speaking of here. And therefore, they mind the things of the flesh. They're after the flesh, so they mind the things of the flesh. What is that? We saw it Sunday. They glory in appearance, not in heart. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:12. They glory in appearance, not in heart. They have their minds on carnal distinctions. This is all the flesh minds. They have their minds on the distinction between Jew and Gentile, between circumcision and uncircumcision. Those who are under the law, those who are not under the law. They're male and female, educated, uneducated, bond and free. They mind the flesh using the law to curb themselves and using the law to curb others. And when you do that, brethren, you're going to always mind the letter of the law. You're going to always mind the works of the flesh. You're going to mind the actions of others, and you're going to be minding yourself. You're not going to be focused on Christ. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Just listen to the messages they preach, and you'll see. You're not going to be focused on Christ. Paul used himself as the example. Let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. He said when he was dead in religion, this is what he did. He minded the things of the flesh. Philippians 3, 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he's speaking about when he was a dead sinner. Philippians 3. Now look here in verse 5. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. He had his mind on that. He said, I was of the stock of Israel. He said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Would you think that counted for anything if that was true of you? counted for nothing. For nothing. Look at this. He said, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee, the strictest of the bunch. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. As far as the outward appearance was concerned, he said, you couldn't find a fault in me. I was blameless before that law. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All of them. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He says, but I don't even count it a loss. I don't count them anything but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ Himself, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Romans 7. Let's go there for a moment. Romans 7. You see, this had to be done for us. We had to be brought out of the flesh into the Spirit, because when we were in the flesh, look at Romans 7:5. Paul includes himself in this, because this is what he was doing in all of that we just read. He said, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, that's what he calls them, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What Paul thought was fruit when he was dead in sin, what he thought, everything that he produced was constrained by the law and produced by the law. It was all by the law. And he says it was all the motions of sin. Every bit of it was dead fruit. Look at verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. He thought he was spiritually alive, thought he was pleasing God. He had the law. He thought he was blameless before it. But when he says without the law, he means I didn't hear what the law said. I didn't have a clue what this law meant. But when the commandment came, when he spoke the word and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus began to set him free from the law of sin and death, when that commandment came and the Lord wrote the law of sin and death on his inward man, he said, sin revived. Sin became alive in my flesh. And I died. And he said, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Now that's what it was to mind the things of the flesh. That's why we had to be saved from that. But now go to 1 Corinthians 2. What is it to mind the things of the Spirit? When a man's been born of God and he's been delivered from the law of sin and death, now he's in the Spirit, and now he minds the things of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. You see that? That we might know the things. He said, those that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. He says, we have the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. This is what we preach every time we stand here. We preach the things freely given to us of God. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. These things are Christ. You want to sum them up? They're Christ. The law of the gospel is called the spirit of life in Christ or by Christ, because it was worked by Christ. It comes from Christ, and Christ Himself is the sum and substance and subject of the whole thing. This is what He shows us when He speaks. He takes our mind off of our doing, our flesh, our law keeping, all off of others, all of those things, and He sets our minds on Christ the Lord. And we start minding the things of the Spirit. We want to hear Christ preach. Now go back to our text in Romans 8. Now this is why he says in Romans 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. Those that mind the flesh, mind the law, mind their doing, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. All of that stuff Paul was doing, all of the stuff men are doing in religion today, when they're constrained by the law and constrained by the precepts of men, and they're doing it for any other constraint other than the love of Christ constraining their heart, it might appear to be good to men, but God says it's hatred against me.
Every bit of it.
Every bit of it. Every bit of it. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, the lusts of the flesh, Paul gives a long list of them over in Galatians. And if we have time, we're going to go look at them. They are indeed wrong, brethren. No believer is going to live after the lusts of the flesh. But let me tell you something. To be turned from those lusts of the flesh by the constraint of the law is to be just as lawless as the man that's guilty of those things. In fact, Paul said the harlots and the publicans will go in the kingdom of heaven before you will, if you think that merits you anything. Now watch this. Believer, you don't have to worry about the carnal mind because, verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, a man that's not, he says there, a man that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. He could be doing all these things in religion. He can be doing all these mighty works, and they in themselves could be nice works. But he's none of Christ. He's doing it in his flesh. He's none of his. Not yet, anyway. He might be an elect child, but it's not revealed yet that he's Christ, because he's doing it in his flesh. So that's the first thing. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. And that's why we mind the things of the Spirit. Now, here's the second thing. What about the believer being in subjection to the law? Because he said not only is the carnal mind enmity against God, he said in verse 7, it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So what about the law? The Holy Spirit says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. If Christ be in you, our body's dead to the law, and the body of the law is dead to us because our sin has been dealt with by Christ Himself. That was the second reason. The Holy Spirit gave the first reason that we're not in the flesh. He said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And now he gives a second reason, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, because I was a sinner, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's why it says because of sin, because Christ has dealt with it. He's condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn back to Romans 7. We saw this Sunday, and I want to look at it again. When Christ took the sin of His people on Himself, and He died under the justice of the law for all His people, right then, all His people were dead to the law. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. When Christ's body became dead, our body became dead to the law. We died to the law when Christ died. That's the whole reason He died. And then when Christ died for His people, all the law died to His people. Verse 6, He says, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. That's what is meant in our text when He says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The believer's body is dead to the law, and the body of the law is dead to the believer, because Christ He's taken care of our sin. Turn to Colossians 2:10. I'm going to show you this in another place. Colossians 2:10. He says in Colossians 2:10, He says, you're complete in Christ. You're complete in Christ. Paul is trying to convey to us just what he's conveying in Romans 8. You're complete in Christ. You're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. The body of the law is dead to you, and the Spirit's life because of righteousness. You're complete in Christ. That's what he's saying. Now look down at verse 13. He says at the end there, he says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That is, all trespasses that the law had against us. He says he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. The ceremonial law was not against us, brethren. The ceremonial law pictured Christ to come. It foreshadowed that good thing to come. It was the moral law that was against us. He says here, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He gave the law everything the law could require. He gave the law perfect righteousness. He gave the law death. And he gave the law holiness of heart. He gave the law everything it requires. Now look at verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. He's saying if you're dead with Christ from the body of the law, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. Now be sure you gather this. The Spirit of God's teaching us this right here. The Spirit of God is saying, believer, the body of the law is dead to you and you're dead to the law. That's what the Spirit of God's teaching through Paul. Here, but men tell you this. He says, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Men tell you, no, you're still under the law. You gotta touch not and taste not and handle not. You're still under the law. Listen to what the Spirit of God says. Which things have indeed a show. If you want to glory in your flesh, that's the way to do it. They have a show of wisdom in will worship and of false humility and of neglecting the body, of self-abasement. They appear to have a good show in those things. But now keep on reading. But they're not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. That means they don't do any of the things they claim to do. They do not mortify the deeds of the flesh. You see, what the flesh likes is give me some law. Give me some law, give me something to do, and I'll do it. That's what the flesh likes. And so when a man has, he's mortified the deeds of his flesh using the law so that he's just the saddest, most sorriest looking, most uncomfortable fellow there is on the face of the planet. He wouldn't smile and have any joy for anything. It might mean he's reveals what's really in his heart. And yet, in that state he's in where he just has abased and abased and abased himself, he's just so proud of himself and what he's done. God hates it. It's not subjection to the law of God. It's not mortification of the flesh. God hates it. Sinner, if you're constrained by the law, if you're constrained by the letter of the law, constrained by the precepts of men bringing you under the law, you're in your flesh and you're not in subjection to the law of God. That's just plain and simple. God hates it. God hates it. All right, now let's go back to our text. Go back to our text. He tells us there this was because of sin. And he says there in Romans 8, 3, he says, because what the law could not do in that it was weak through our flesh is because of our sin, brethren. Now let me repeat what I said on Sunday. Let me say this, what I just said again. Because of the sin of his people, because of the weakness of our flesh, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin and to fulfill the righteousness of the law for us, for his people. And as the representative head of his people, Christ gave the law as the one man God looks to, the one man God looks to, the one man God looks to. Christ gave the law holiness of nature, which is the saint's sanctification in him. He gave the law obedience of life, which is the saint's righteousness in him. And he gave the law sufferings of death, which is the saint's justification in him. That's all the law could require. He said, I came to fulfill it, and he fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. So if Christ be in you, before God, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body of the law is dead to us, and our body's dead to the law. Well, preacher, how do I know that's true? I've got one good way to show you. This is the last point. If you're spiritually alive, it's because everything I'm telling you is true. Look there. Look at Romans 8:10. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If you have the Spirit of life in you, you've regenerated and you believe on Christ, it's because you've been made the righteousness of the law, the righteousness of God, by the righteousness of Christ Himself. The very reason God's elect are given spiritual life in this world is because each one for whom Christ died has been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you're alive spiritually, it's because Christ has fulfilled all righteousness for you. And since Christ fulfilled all righteousness for His people, and since Christ made us His righteousness before God, He made us righteousness before God. Therefore, the law demands nothing else of Christ's people. And the law demands that all for whom Christ died, they must be given this Spirit of life. They must be delivered from the law of sin and death, because the law has no more claims on them, period. And that's the very reason Christ says the Holy Spirit says Christ laid down His life. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. I'm going to read this whole chapter to you. I want you to see this. And we're going to mention this first part here again. Look at Galatians 3:5. Now, the problem in Galatia was, it wasn't that they were trying to begin in the Spirit by the law. It was that they were trying now, once they had begun in the Spirit through faith, now they were being told they had to go back to the law and live under the law. Now, listen to Paul here. Galatians 3:5. He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, who does that? Christ. I just showed Christ does that. He's the one that speaks this word in our heart. Doeth He it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does it come to you by telling you what you should do or by hearing of the faithfulness of Christ Jesus? Even as Abraham believed God. It comes to us just like it did Abraham, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, if they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, the hearing of faith. He preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now there's the promise of God made to Abraham and made to Christ in the everlasting covenant of grace. In thee shall all nations be blessed, all the elect of God out of all nations. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now this was their problem. They were being told they got to live under the law. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know what redemption is? It's to be bought out from under the law, lock, stock, and barrel. It's to be bought totally out from under the law. He did it by being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And He did it, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth to it. You can't take away from it or add to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And He didn't say to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. God made this promise to Abraham, and He made it to Christ. He made it to Christ first before the foundation of the world, that all His people would be given the faith through the Holy Spirit because He redeemed them and made them the righteousness of God. And this promise was given to Abraham, that he was made the righteousness of God through faith by what Christ did in redeeming him from the curse of the law. And that was given to him before the law was given. That promise was made to Abraham before the law at Sinai was given. Now watch. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. There's your reason for giving the law. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. This is another reason showing you it's not how we're going to be saved. Moses was a man. He was a mediator. He was a man. But a mediator is not a mediator of one. But here you got God is one and Moses is one. Moses is a man and God is God. Where's the mediator between them? Where's the mediator? So the law, we weren't going to be saved by the law. Look here now, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, all of God's elect under sin, as well as all other men, but this applies to His elect, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, by the work of Jesus Christ Himself, by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ fulfilling the law, it might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. But wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was that taskmaster. The law was not this sweet little schoolmaster that's afraid to spank you bottom because they might get in trouble with the liberal law. This law right here was a hard schoolmaster that whipped your butt all the way to Christ. And he says that you might be justified by faith. And he says, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster anymore. We're not under the law. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew. That's what it is to be in the Spirit. You've put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's what our text shows us. Look back there, brethren. This is what he says. This is the result of us being now born of the Spirit. This is the result of us being in the Spirit, not in the flesh. This is the result of the law being dead to us and us to the law and us being made the righteousness of God in Christ. Look, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've not received the Spirit to bring you back into bondage to the law and fear under the law. Christ came to save us from that, and He has. But you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now then, let's hear God's application. Let's hear what God says to me and you now, having this understanding. How then am I going to be led? How then am I going to walk? How then is my flesh going to be mortified? Look at Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now it's true that this applies to the resurrection. Our mortal bodies are going to be raised in the resurrection. You can find that down in verse 23. But the context teaches us that our mortal bodies are going to be made useful not by the constraint of law, not by the precepts of men, but only by the Holy Spirit through the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ. He says, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Our flesh profits nothing. That the flesh here is the old nature. That's what it's speaking about, the old nature. Of course, we're not to live after the flesh any moral sin. Of course not. But as I just told you, it's just as sinful to take the law and try to live by the constraint of the law, to live by the letter of the law, or to attempt to mortify the deeds of our flesh by the law. That's just as sinful. Just as sinful. Both are living after the flesh. Both are living after the flesh. Both shall result in eternal death. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the Lord said. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life, that's how we're going to be mortified. And our inner man groans. So then, when we're born of the Holy Spirit, instead of minding our flesh and minding the law, we walk after the Spirit, minding the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. All right, now listen. Here, I'm going to give you three things. How are the deeds of the believer's body going to be mortified? And how is the inner man going to be strengthened to walk after the Spirit, to walk in obedience to God and honor the gospel and honor Christ of the gospel? How are we going to be made to do that? Is it going to be by law? That's exactly what he said. It's not going to be made by law. It's not going to be done by the law never made anybody obedient. It never did. Those that were obedient in the old covenant had the Spirit of Christ in them. And they were freed from the law of sin and death just like we are today. It's always been saved one way. Look here now. Here's number one. The flesh is mortified. We treat our flesh and the flesh of our brethren as dead, as crucified with Christ. That means when we do something good or we do something sinful, we don't regard it. If you do something good in your flesh, it don't count for anything. If you do something sinful, it don't count against you. That's what it is to regard your flesh as dead. Regard it as dead. It's crucified. So, how's that flesh mortified that way? How are we going to be made to regard it that way? Through the Spirit. First of all, we just read it in Galatians. Not through the hearing of works, but through the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to preach to you, what I preach to you every time I stand here, the faithfulness of Christ, what He's accomplished for us, that's how our flesh is mortified. That's how the Spirit's grown and edified. And then number two, our first husband, the law, is dead, that we might be married to a new husband. That's what Paul meant in the first part of Romans 7. He's saying it's lawful for you to be married to Christ and not the law anymore. Men hear that, and some read it. I'll tell you why. He tells us in Romans 8, they're dead. Men hear that, and they want to hang on to that law. Oh, I got to be married to the law. You're going to be what is it when you're married to two women, two spouses? Polygamous? You're polygamous, then. You can't be married to the law and married to Christ. You can only be married to one or the other. Married to one or the other. Romans 7:4 says, we were delivered from the law that you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, we live not unto ourselves anymore, not trying to mortify the deeds of our flesh, ourselves by law. We live unto Christ now. So there, we call upon Christ. We ask grace for Christ. We get all spiritual fruit from Christ. That's what it means to be married to him. When you're married to Christ, he says, now, I've done everything for you that your first husband did not do for you. All he did was command you, but he never did anything for you. The law didn't. And he says, I've done it all for you now, and that old husband's dead, and you're to be married to me now. You're to walk after me. You're to look to me for fruit, for grace and for power and spirit and fruit. You don't look back to that old husband. I gave that illustration Sunday. What if a woman's married to you and you go and she had a husband before you who was mean as a snake to her and didn't do a thing for her, and now you've done everything for her, but she keeps looking back to that other husband and trying to live by his rules rather than live by your rules? This is what he's saying. You're free from that law. So first of all, you're going to hear Christ in the preaching of the gospel. And then secondly, you go to Christ. You go to him. He says in Hebrews 10, we got access to the throne of God because his blood's washed us by what he's done for us and what he's done in us. So we've got access. We're sons of God. We can cry, Abba, Father, now. So he says, go to him. And he tells us that all of the fruit comes from him anyway. Listen to this in Philippians 1:9. Paul said, this I pray. Who's he pray this to? To Christ. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. He said, I don't go to the law for this. I go to Christ for this. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. How so? Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. All fruits by him. So he says, you know, that's what he said. We should be married to him that we should bring forth fruit. When you're married to a husband, ladies, you bring forth children by the husband. That's the only way we're going to bring forth fruit. We didn't bring any by our first husband. We're going to bring it forth by our second husband, by Christ himself. And then thirdly, we've been delivered from the letter of the law. Romans 7:6 says that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Go back to Galatians. I'll show you what that is. Galatians 5. Here's what it is to serve in newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter. Galatians 5:5. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. Your law keeping is not going to avail anything with you. Not even a little bit. Not even just a little law keeping. Not any. Not any. It won't avail anything for you. Not only that, nor uncircumcision. Listen to this. I said this to you. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, they all attained unto the righteousness of God, and none of them had the law. They all walked pleasing to God, and none of them had what men say is the believer's rule of life, the law. None of them had it. What'd they have? They had Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the gospel of Christ, leading them, Himself. That's what we have, believer. That's how we're constrained, by the love of Christ. By the love of Christ. Look here now. They don't work it, but faith which worketh by love. That's the rule we're under. Faith which worketh, constrained by Christ's love for us. Now look at this. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Anything else is not obeying the truth. Look now. He says, this persuasion cometh not of Christ that called you. That's not who's teaching you this. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. A little bit of this works, and the whole outfit's going to be turned into works, religion. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord. He's the one that's going to do it. That you'll be none otherwise minded. That you'll mind the things of the Spirit. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He says, and if I preach circumcision, if I was preaching this, if I was preaching law, he said, I wouldn't yet suffer persecution. And I can say that, brethren, if I was preaching law, these folks around us, they wouldn't turn their thumbs down on me. But they do. Why? Because I'm preaching the offense of the cross. He said, if I preach law, then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Now, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. You want to live after the law? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the lust of the flesh, to bite and devour one another with the law. That's the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. The Spirit's going to keep you from walking after the lust of the flesh. But if you be led of the Spirit, even if you see sin in you, remember this, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. He goes all down this line, and he says there, and I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But you're not going to stop yourself from doing these things by the law. If you do, you're just as guilty of these things as the person doing them. Look at this. The fruit of the Spirit is this. This is what it is to walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are things that you do. Against such, there is no law. Been delivered, see. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. That's what we saw in our first point, and in our second point, and in our third point. The body of the law is dead, and our body's dead to the law. It's crucified. Look, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, then, if we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. He said, as opposed to trying to walk by the law. If you're in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, then. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. That's what constraint by law is. Desiring vainglory. Provoking one another. Envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, don't take him to the law. you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that different from taking them to the law and chopping their head off with the law? If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, don't try to make somebody else do this. You just worry about yourself. You go to Christ yourself. You hear the hearing of faith yourself. You flee to Him for mercy and grace yourself. You walk in the Spirit yourself. And you just bear the burden of your brother when he's fallen in sin and he's not doing it. But you do this to God yourself. That's what he's saying. Now look on, verse 7. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You want to walk after the law? You want to live by the sword? You die by it. You die by the law. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now he says, don't be weary in well-doing. In due season we'll reap if we faint not. If we therefore opportunity, do good unto all, especially unto them of the household of faith. Amen. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we need you to deliver us from the law of sin and death. We need you to teach us in our hearts, because when we hear something that goes against the law, we think we are the defenders of the law by nature. And all we are is breakers of it. And even when we think we're keeping it, all we're doing is just making a mockery of your law. We need you to teach us, Lord, that Christ has fulfilled it, that Christ is the end of it, that believers walk by faith, constrained by His love alone, by the Spirit of God's grace, not by anything else. Teach us that in our heart, Lord, and make us to be true children of God. Make us to be true followers of Christ the Lord, in spirit and in truth, and no more in this vain pretense of righteousness and this vain pretense of holiness, which will workers walk after. Thank you, Father, for those you've taught. Thank you for those you've instructed. Keep us in Him, looking to Him alone. We ask it in Christ's name, asking for forgiveness for our fleshly sins. In His name we pray. Amen. All right.